are rolling towards the weekend. Welcome in 3HL here in Nashville on a Friday, 5:20 on a Friday. The weekend is almost here. We've got lots of NFL action this weekend, and we've got a really fun guest right now. Al Del Greco, 1991 to 2000, Houston Oiler, Tennessee Titans kicker, sports talk radio host, men's golf coach at Samford. But Al, I've got to say, the most important introduction to you is fellow Auburn Tiger, War Eagle, my friend.
War Eagle, Don. War Eagle.
You two are done.
You know, Brad Hopkins loves it. Brad Hopkins, my co-host here on 3HL, and bringing in Al Del Greco. Al, kind of tell everybody what you're up to nowadays.
Well, I'm in my sixth year as the head men's golf coach at Samford University here in Birmingham, a small Christian college that has about 5,000, where it's a Division I program and fully funded like everybody else, and we try to go out and compete with all the big boys on just a smaller budget. So that's a little bit tough at times, but we have a good time, and Brad knows how much I love golf, and to be able to kind of stay with that and share some of my experiences and stuff with the kids, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, you mentioned golf. By the way, Samford is a beautiful university. I love that place. But you mentioned golf. I asked B-Hop when we were talking in the break, I'm like, what is it with kickers? And like, they're all good at golf. Is it just because you guys have so much, you all have so much time on your hands or whatever? You're working on your swing in between practice reps and all that. What is it with kickers and golf? Punchers,
Brad,
too.
Brad already gave you that answer, I see, huh?
But most of the other guys, I didn't say a word.
most of the other guys there said, yeah, they don't have time to do anything. They have so much time on their hands that while we're over there sweating and hitting and being all physical, they're over there swinging, working on their golf game. But I've never put a divot on a football field in my life. I can promise you that. But I don't know. I think maybe just the focus that it takes. The plane of kicking a football is much like the plane of a golf swing, and there's just a lot of similarities to it. I think growing up trying to have to kick a football straight for it to be successful, you kind of need to do that with a golf ball as well. It was just something that I actually liked golf even before I started into football. So they kind of went hand in hand, and I actually became a better kicker when I started working with a sports psychologist for my golf game, right before I went to, when I got to Houston, Fran Pirazzola, that lives up there in Houston, worked with me and basically changed my career.
As a matter of fact, when you talk about kickers in today's game, Al, there's so much more pressure on them guys nowadays. And now that the extra point is 33 yards further away. You know, do you think that you'd be able to handle that, knocking a simple extra point through from 35 yards consistently like these guys do down there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, obviously it is different. You do see it's not as kind of a gimme thing as it became, which right. is why they actually changed the rule. But I think in today's day and age, there's so much more pressure on them because they're all so strong that, I mean, they try double the amount of 50-plus yard field goals that we did back in my era of kicking. So you're putting them out farther, you're expecting them to make it, and you know, there's guys that Justin Tucker absolutely is amazing. I know he missed one last week against the Titans for the first time, and I can't tell you how long, but just amazing what these guys are doing, and not only the accuracy but the distance that they have as well this year.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Nick Saban. He now overtakes Bear Bryant as having won 7 national championships. And I'm with you, Big Al. I love how Devontae Smith, he doesn't go off, look at me. He just does his job and heads back to the sideline. They need more of those kind of guys, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. And I'm an Auburn guy, as Don pointed out. It's tough for me to admit how good a football team they actually had this year. They were really, really good. And, you know, when you watch something like that, and you know, that's not to say guys that are charismatic and, you know, do a little bit more, there's nothing wrong with that, but somebody with that much I guess, hype and all the stuff going on around him and winning the Heisman. And I'd noticed that a couple times watching him this year. And it's just nice to see somebody know they're doing what they're capable of doing and not having to do that extra, I guess, is a good way to put it. But shame that he got hurt in the game. I would have liked to have seen what the stats would have been like had he played the entire football game. But, man, what a first half he had. And this may be the best Alabama team I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, I know there were some great ones before, you know, I was born and stuff like that. But, man, this was a good football team.
I think for a team only getting – I'm sorry, Don, if I can follow up real quick. I just think that a team that only had seven games in pretty much, you know, had questionable Big Ten championship because Indiana had a tremendous season as well to be able to play for a national championship. I thought they did pretty well for themselves and knocking off Trevor Lawrence. I thought Justin Fields did a great job of maybe positioning themselves not to overtake Trevor in the draft, but at least position himself to maybe be a top five pick. Your thoughts?
Well, that I don't know. I'm not much into how they're rated and how that goes. But, yeah, I agree with you. He showed a lot, you know, taking the hit in the Clemson game. He showed a lot staying, you know, competitive in that Alabama game when they fell behind. I don't know, Brad. They deserve to be there. But then again, you know, the Big Ten had to change the rules so they even had to play so they could play in a conference championship. And I'm not sure that was, you know, kind of the fair thing to do to the other teams. I don't know how you felt about that, but, you know, they definitely took care of Clemson. And as far as I'm concerned, Clemson was the only other team this year that was going to have a chance to beat Alabama or could have had a chance.
Yeah. So at halftime, I had this whole, you know, obviously being an Auburn alum, I had this whole, nobody is going to beat Nick Saban. Nobody's going to beat Alabama. The dynasty is just massive right now. Like, what can you do to take them down? I mean, apart from somebody, you know, catching them cheating and turning them in. And I mean, what's going to slow down this Alabama roll?
Well, and look, when I was on the radio, I had to listen to that every day. And it's,
right?
It's built and built and built and built. Well-deserved. Hard to listen to, though, but being an Auburn fan. But I don't know. You keep saying, look, everybody always talks about dynasties, whether you talk about the Steelers, the 49ers, the Packers back in the day, and it always comes to an end. What he's done, I think, is so incredible. And, yes, he is getting the number one recruiting class. He is getting better players than everybody else. But to put all that in and have all the coordinators and assistant coaches that have left and the turnover that they've had in that staff to still be able to do what they've done, you really have to admire the way that he does that. And again, that's hard for me to say. But if you're being honest, I do think you have to give him the respect that he deserves. And I think, you know, finally winning the Paul Bear Bryant Coach of the Year Award, Alabama fans have always been perturbed about that because they said, you know, how's the best coach in football never win that award? Well, he got it this year, deservingly so.
I voted for him for that award. So there you go. Al Del Greco, yeah. Our guest, former Houston Oiler and Tennessee Titan kicker.
Mm. Well, hey, Big Al, I'll tell you what, Brian Harsin, he's taking over for your alma mater program as the top Tiger. Now, how can Harsin compete in the Shark Tank of recruiting? He was in the state of Arkansas for a year, Texas for a couple years. He last coached in Idaho, bruh. How's he going to win and get talent there where he needs it?
Well, we hope he's going to win quickly. I will say this. I didn't know a whole lot about him when the hire came. I trust the people that were involved in doing that coaching search. I do think looking at the press conferences and seeing some of the things that he said, he actually had the Letterman's Club on a Zoom call, I guess it was yesterday, and for an hour sat there and just kind of laid out, you know, the coaching staff and what he was looking for and what the plans are and how he goes about things and was just really kind of impressed with what his direction is. As you said, how do you come into the West, the SEC West, with, you know, Lane Kiffin, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron, LSU and everybody. It's kind of putting your feet in the fire really, really quick. But, hey, to be the best, you got to compete with the best. And I think that was what he looked at. I think that's what enticed him to the job. Dawn and I are a little bit, you know, privy to Auburn, and we know what a special place that is and what a great place to coach it is. But, man, until Nick Saban leaves, you're at a place where you're going to be, you know, kind of fighting uphill the whole time. But I think that's a challenge that some people really kind of adhere to. And I can go back to when Pat Dye came in when I was a freshman. Bear Bryant had won 9 years in a row, and Alabama had a big stranglehold over college football and Auburn especially. And Coach Dye kind of just put us to work. And you saw what's happened since then. He's changed the ideals and the culture and the thought. And I think, you know, quite honestly, he was about the same age as Brian Harsin is. So we kind of hope for maybe the same kind of deal to happen. But he's got his work cut out for him. But I'm behind him. I'm going to support him. And, you know, hopefully Auburn football will be better than it's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you mentioned the culture. But is this the kind of program that expects national championships? In other words, you know, will Brian Harsin at least give them the opportunity to play for a national championship? We just mentioned the degree of difficulty. It doesn't seem like it's going to be easy to stock the shelves. But is he the kind of coach? I mean, obviously, Boise State, he's pretty good. Can he do that here?
Yeah, it remains to be seen, Brad, quite honestly. I don't know. I can't give you an honest answer to that. I hope they've made the right hire. I think they have. I know he expects that. That's what he's coming to Auburn to do. And let's face it, you know, being in the SEC and looking at who's won the national championships the last few years, if you throw LSU and Auburn in the mix too, outside of Clemson, SEC's won it every single year. And then, you know, it's a great place to go. You're going to have a great opportunity, but as you said, it's going to be tough for them to kind of compete to get there. You throw in the fact this year that they had 10 SEC games, and Alabama still went undefeated. What Nick Saban's doing is just unheard of. And I think maybe the expectation level of every fan base has gone up thinking, well, if Nick Saban did it, why can't we get a coach that can do it? Why can't we do it as well? And you and I both know this kind of run and this kind of success they're having for this sustained time, it just doesn't happen. It's something special for them.
I just wish Trey Sermon was healthy in that game. That's all I wish. I think it would be a completely different outcome if that cat was running the football. But what about the hire of Derek Mason, former Vandy coach? I think he was a good connection with the players. He just got anchored down.
Yeah, Derek Mason coming on board, I think, is big. You got a guy that actually has been another head football coach, has been in the SEC. Mike Bobo's been in the SEC. Tracy Rocker, who played at Auburn, now the defensive line coach. Zach Etheridge was the captain of that team back in 2010 when they won a national championship. He's going to coach he's coaching, I think, cornerbacks. So I think the staff that he's put together is, you know, a little bit youthful. It's got some experience to it, too. And I think, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think in today's day and age in coaching, you need the old part and the old kind of work ethic, but you also need today's newness and relating to the players and social media and all the things that kind of go along with that. So I think the mix that he has at least looks like it's going to be something good. Now it's just a matter of can they develop the players. And if, you know, I think Bo Nix has a lot of talent, but I don't think he was developed much the last couple of years. So whether it's him or somebody that comes in, I know there's a couple kids. There was a kid that was committed to South Carolina that Mike Bobo had recruited that may come to Auburn now, five-star quarterback. But we'll have to just wait and see. But I think Auburn fans are excited, and I give them a lot of credit for kind of going outside the box and going against the grain, I guess is a good way to put it, with this hire.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay, so interesting. You talked about social media, kind of newness, oldness. I love social media when there's old school clips that maybe some of the younger kids who have never seen can see. And the one that stood out to me when I was looking into your Twitter feed and all of that was the clip from 91, Oilers hosting the Jets in the AFC wild card. It's your 53-yard field goal. And I brought this up to B-Hop because I said, man, those uniforms are just beautiful. They're beautiful. I mean, they're amazing. And he said, no, they're not intimidating at all. They're not. I am in love with those uniforms. So I need your take on it, Al.
Dawn, I'm totally on your side. When they signed me, I was more excited to put the uniform on than I was to play again.
What do you remember from that game?
The colors I absolutely loved. And, you know, my high school I played for, we had plain white pants and a plain red shirt. Auburn hasn't changed uniforms in forever and probably never will. You know, playing with the Packers, it was a G on your helmet, and the Cardinals was a plain white helmet with a cardinal on the side. So finally getting stripes and finally getting some cool colors and colored pants to wear, I thought I was in heaven back then in the Astrodome at that time. But I guess, Brad, you didn't feel the same way, huh? We weren't intimidating enough?
Al, what about our 94 throwback unis? I was disgusted. I'm sorry. It was my second year in the league. I was like, what in the heck is this stuff? But real quick, go ahead. What are you going
to say? No, I will give you that one. Those helmets, those uniforms were bad. I still have that helmet, too, with the just – it looks like a white tape making the oil derrick.
Exactly.
Really?
You couldn't give that thing to me. But real quick, hey Al, I remember the driver that drove me in the parade when we went to the Super Bowl. Do you remember your driver's name?
In the after the Super Bowl?
In the parade, yeah. I remember my guy. His name was Tony. You remember your guy's name?
He remembers him because he just called him today.
You rat?
Well, you know, you got to remember, though, Brad, you were the big-time guy. I was just the kicker, so I don't know what
part of you won us tons of games.
I don't remember his name, but that's pretty cool that you remember that. That was a great day, by the way. It was freezing cold, and just like the I don't know if you reminisced about the party back at the hotel after the game, I still look back and I say, man, had we won and tied the game once, how fun would that party have been and how big would that parade have been in Nashville? Because the people absolutely came out in droves to support us at that time. And, I mean, we were so darn close, but just couldn't quite get there at the end. And I remember thinking that season with the Music City Miracle and beating Jacksonville three times, it was like, sitting there and the confetti started coming down thinking, wait a minute, this can't be over. This isn't the way our story ends. We always find a way to win. And the reality kind of hit. And I know I still look at that expression of Frank Wycheck with his hands on his head, knelt over in the end zone going, oh my gosh, how close were we? But man, what a great time. And it looks like they're back close to form again, and I'm rooting for them all the time, and hopefully next year or in the years coming they can get back to the Super Bowl again, because it was a great experience.
No doubt, man. We gotta get you on again, Al, and just reminisce and talk about those old stories. How about it?
Anytime. I got plenty about Brad too that I can share with you.
No, you don't. And we're done. See you, Al. Bye.
Al Del Greco. Thank you so much, Al. Good luck with Stanford and your golf team. Well, there you go. Al Del Greco, our guest. 91 to 2000. The kicker, man, those uniforms. I'm sorry you can't beat them, B-Hop. You are dead wrong. 3HL continues after this.
Jason Martin and